If you are listening to this, you know it's the world's last podcast. Let's start with some breaking news. Well, I don't know when you'll be listening to this, so it might not be breaking. Anyway, it's more of a slowly developing story. Yeah, let's start with a gradually unfolding story. If you haven't heard, there has been an influx of new residents. Not a massive influx, about 200 people. These are the passengers from the Liberty One, given up for dead after all communication failed years ago. The surviving passengers and crew of the Libertarian artificial island, Liberty One, drifted into Long Beach Harbor this week. Immediately upon landing, the emaciated, salt-covered inhabitants issued a press release. Here it goes. Freedom has returned to North America. The Governing Council of the Liberty One invites all healthy young people, ages 12 to 34. Is 34 young? Hope so. To enter into free work commitments. Who wouldn't want to exchange a lifetime of work for a lifetime of adventure? Sell your services in a lifetime contract and gain immediate entrance to utopia. Leave behind a lifetime of struggle and dangerous, unpredictable mutations for a chance at the good life. Are your community's superstitions about living tissue donations keeping you back from a life of luxury? Our experienced surgeons can help you convert your healthy tissue into gold or other local currency. Come and visit our sales office today. We'd like to remind the world that a life of liberty means more than a life of material wealth, although it certainly means that. Liberty One also offers a life of the mind. We will be offering our yearly TED Talks free to the public over the coming weeks. Come aboard of your own free will and hear the ideas that can change the world for the better. All we ask is that you perform a few hours of removal service after each lecture. It's time to embrace the world and stop running from it. Liberty is back, and it's time you had some. I guess had some liberty. Well, independent research has revealed a less flattering portrait of the Liberty One. According to the authority, of the 200 people on board, 130 are slaves. These slaves were offered the chance at release, but they refused. They felt it would violate their freedom of contract. They said they had agreed to work for the rest of their lives for nothing, and they didn't want a government telling them what they could or could not agree to. And they have made some very novel agreements. Over half of the inhabitants had sold living tissue. This wasn't organ donation. This was food. They call it protein recycling. Nutrition has been a real problem for the artificial island. It's been even more of a problem for real islands, because those can't move. When the Liberty One was launched, it was possible to collect an abundance of food from the ocean. Back then, the ocean was not the slick, gray, gelatinous mass that we know today. I'm told that when the transformation started, the crew steered the island farther and further out to sea, instead of trying to return to land. The crew was commanded by Arnie Sleet, who is not a sailor, who is not a navigator, biologist, or oceanographer, but a billionaire who had made a fortune in casinos and pornography. The crew of the island worked for whoever paid the most, and Arnie had a feeling things would be better in the middle of the ocean. He put together a larger incentive than any other resident or combination of residents, so the ship just drifted out. We can assume that they lived on jellyfish for a long time when those became super abundant. After that, apparently they turned to whatever they were able to grow on the island and this protein recycling. Of course, the authority warns all of us to stay away from the island. I think that's common sense. No one these days wants to be a slave in order to prove a point. But I'm tempted to visit nevertheless, for a couple of reasons. First, I think the residents show something about the human spirit. I mean, they've remained committed to a facile and psychotic ideology in the face of the worst disasters humanity has ever faced. If you think about it, all of the other governments collapsed or are transformed radically, like our own. These libertarians have soldiered on, even though most of them are dead. The original population was 2,000. The second reason I want to visit, I would really like to see a TED talk now. In case you don't remember or weren't born, TED was an acronym. I don't remember what it stood for, and I may never have known. But every year, and eventually every day, they presented talks. These talks were by and for the people who ruined our world. They described completely impractical ways for undoing the damage they caused on a daily basis. They were things like a glimmer of hope, how LED lighting will end global poverty. You know, and then the speaker would talk about how some people in just a godforsaken desert were using LED flashlights to find insects to eat at night, and that was raising their standard of living way more than a global minimum wage would. I'm curious about what they're trying to sell now in these talks. I mean, we rarely use money nowadays. For all the evils that you hear about money, it was a great convenience. I don't know how to barter. Is a pair of shoes worth 2 feet of copper pipe? It was to me. The shoes were Fluvogs. And what am I going to do with copper pipe? But every time I explain that, and I do it a lot because people ask about the shoes, they're nice shoes, someone calls me an idiot. I don't know. I think there's plenty of copper for our meager needs and not as many quality shoes. But I guess we have more electrical engineers left than we do shoemakers. I don't know how economics works. But I would love to hear from someone who can convince me that they know how economics works. I want to visit the island, if only to get a look at the list of talks they'll be given. There's also one other thing about the island. We can probably be sure that there aren't any whisperers on it. Their complete material failure and apparent lack of social cohesion should tell us that. But I probably won't investigate. TED would be fun, but they're asking for hours of removal services. That sounds like a lot. It sounds like they haven't removed or recycled any of the corpses on board. Does that mean there's something that slaves refuse to do? What horrible new disease or mutation have they brought to us? God knows it could be anything. Let's all stay away from the newcomers. This is the world's last podcast. I have an interesting letter this week. It's kind of like advice, but this time there's a definite answer. Here goes. Settle a bet for me. I bet my wife a can of salted peanuts. That's right, I have them, I've saved them, and I don't know where to get more. I bet my wife that table salt used to have iodine in it to prevent thyroid problems. She thinks it was used as a subtle flavoring agent. She says it was like MSG. I'm pretty sure I'm right about this, and if you back me up, I'll get to keep my nuts all to myself. Thanks for your help, Dre. Well, Dre, I don't know what you think I'm capable of in terms of research. I've been saying for weeks that I have no idea how to find a book I desperately need. There was iodine in salt? That's news to me. All I remember about salt is a teacher who explained that it was made of two deadly poisonous elements that when you combine them, made food delicious. So here's where I am with your question. I don't know what a thyroid does, and I don't know what iodine would do to it. Nevertheless, I think I can settle your bet. The solution is just share the peanuts with your wife. Do you hate her? Do you want her to see you enjoying a treat that no one else in the world can have just because she doesn't know why there was iodine in salt? Would you stop sharing your water with her if she doesn't know why there used to be antibiotics in chicken? That was to keep us from getting... Wait, was that to keep the chickens from getting sick? Or to keep us from getting sick from the chickens? Anyway, stop making bets with your wife. That's not a good way to pass the time. Try tic-tac-toe or hangman if you're bored. Try to see if you can find a chess set or even a deck of cards. There's no way to answer questions like yours now. The age of trivia is over. It's a reason to celebrate. Well, this week, the authority wants to thank you for your efforts in fighting piracy. Over 5 Catalina pirates have been apprehended thanks to citizen efforts. Over 5. That sounds like 6. Or maybe 7. The larger pirate band is still at large, but they did exchange 3 electric golf carts to get back the hostages. See, that's a trade I wouldn't have made. But as I said, I don't know how economics works. The authority also has an exciting food breakthrough. It's more of a beverage breakthrough. They've synthesized caffeine. Caffeine is an important drug that fueled most of this continent's past glory, maybe as much as petroleum and cocaine, but most of the caffeine available in these terrible times was in unusable forms, like Mountain Dew. But you can expect caffeinated beverages to begin arriving on food wagons in the next few weeks. The midday nap may soon be a thing of the past. I'll emphasize maybe. The widespread depression and despair will probably still keep most people napping, if not sleeping all day. Then again, maybe some of that depression is caused by the lack of caffeine. I know. The depression is most likely caused by all the deaths. But there were deaths before the calamities. Every generation thinks they invented dying, but it has been going on for many thousands of years. Do you realize that? This is, well, it's kind of like trivia. I heard it once and it may not be true. I think that's what trivia is. But did you know that in prehistoric times, there was a catastrophe? No one knows what it was because it was prehistory. Before history, there was no way of keeping track of events. That must have been confusing. Maybe they didn't even know there had been a catastrophe. Like they would say, didn't there used to be more of us? But then, what do you mean by used to be? Anyway, there was this catastrophe, and it left the world with about 10,000 human beings. That was it. Like 2 small towns worth of people. Yet, humanity managed to come back in a big way. And they did it without any of the advantages we have. They didn't have a way to synthesize caffeine. Or if they did, they didn't have a way to record the process, My point still stands. We are resilient. We've been in tougher spots than this, yet we pulled together and came back and overran the earth. Once we figure out the rules of this new world we've made, I'm sure we can do it again. It won't happen immediately, and the vast majority of us won't live to see it. But let's not give up. I'm not giving up. I'll be back with you next week, and I'll have more of this. Until then, take care.